Great is your faithfulness, Father. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us and strengthening us. We thank you, Lord, for the love that we have with one another, that we can pray for each other and bring our petitions to you. And Lord, we just ask and pray that your blessings would continue to be upon each and every one of us. Even as we heard your words this morning in Bible class, now as your word would go forth this morning hour, I ask and pray, Lord, for your blessing upon it. Blessing upon me, give me the words to speak, Lord, and to stay on task, to stay focused. And Lord, that those that would listen would not look at me, but look at the words and listen to the words that you would have us to hear and to understand and to know. Lord, I pray for your continual blessing and your guidance, those that could not be here today, those still that are ill and that are battling the disease, those that are in the sunset of their years, Lord, that are just waiting to be called home. We pray for them as well. So we pray, Lord, that you would be in our midst. Watch over us and protect us and bless us in your name, I pray. Amen. In the beginning of the year, Brother Joe had his sermon where he started off, and I'm trying to recall, Brother Joe, I believe you were made mention that you and Sister Lori were in the Carolinas or somewhere on the East Coast, and you were talking about homes that were built on stilts. I'm sorry? Out here on our beach. As, you know, as this whole political gamut was going on, in the beginning of the year, the Lord's laid on my heart a portion of scripture that's, we all know, kids learn this song in Sunday school. And it talks about the man building his house on a rock and the man that building his house on sand. So for this morning's meditation, the question that I would like to pose is your foundation firm? You know, we go through trials, and we'll be talking about that here in Scripture. But with what is coming down, with what is ahead of us, what is waiting for us, is your home and my home founded on a solid, firm foundation? Or do we have some work to do to firm it up? So with the help of the Lord this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 24 through 29. And subsequently, I also want to read, with the help of the Lord, from St. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Because here is going to be Matthew's recollection of what Christ spoke about the wise and the foolish builder, and then also what Luke heard and what he penned down. And they're very short verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Now, if you could also turn with me back to Luke chapter 7. Again, just four verses. But there's one distinct verse here that kind of stands out that Matthew did not put in his writings. Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." Very well familiar with these sayings. And if we look at the two that are in question here, Christ starts off and says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." We have two people that have a few things in common. The wise man and the foolish man, both wanting to build a home. And when we talk about the house or a home, there are many different things that we can talk about. We can talk about first our spiritual life, our spiritual home. We can talk about our physical home. And then we can kind of go on, and with that kind of bleeds off into perhaps our work home. Scripture tells us that just because one was wise and one was foolish, the storms of life was not prejudiced to where it would come upon the wise or the foolish, but that both suffered, that both were susceptible, and both experienced the descending of rain and floods and winds. And when we look at our lives, we are not, we too are susceptible to that. Storms have been coming in our lives. They come in and they come out. It's said that either you are in the middle of the storm, you're out of the storm, or you're going to be going into a storm. You see, both wanted to build a house. Both wanted to build a home. And Jesus said that whoever hears these sayings of mine, both were susceptible, both heard the sayings of what Jesus, of this saying from Jesus. They both heard the same thing. Both of them wanted to build a home. They had things in common, but they also had things that were different. And one of them was a character flaw. And I don't know if I would say character flaw, but I would probably say the condition of the heart. Because one was wise and the other was foolish. And we talk a little about, well, what's the difference between someone that is wise and somebody that's foolish? I think that all of us at one point in time have seen somebody do something and say, "Oh, that was a foolish mistake." Or, "This man has some wisdom. There's some wisdom in what this man says." And in a little bit, I'm going to go through the Old Testament. It talks about five different fools. So we have a man that is wise. And why was he wise? And what is wisdom? The wisdom is the application of spiritual discernment. the application of the knowledge that we have in God's Word. For those that want to start their home, their spiritual home, God says here, Christ says, that they have to do something. You don't just sit there and listen and walk away. There's something that needs to be done. And in order for that foundation, to build on that foundation, which is the gospel story of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and mine, who's given us hope, that solid rock, that solid foundation, there are things that need to be done. We need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask Christ in our life and walk a life that is worthy of Him. But in order to do that, you need to know what's expected. Yes, Scripture says, he who confess with his mouth, he will be saved. But James also says that you're not only to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That is the basis, that is the foundation of a Christian home, of a spiritual home. And that's where it all starts. Because if we don't have a firm foundation of a spiritual home, our physical home will not stand the test of time. And when I talk about our spiritual home, we know that the divorce rates now are higher than they've ever been, and even so starting to creep into the church. And you know what? You and I are being watched. There are those that are looking at us to see how firm is our foundation. Interesting, when I was reading Luke, and a contrast to the difference between Luke and Mark, in verse 47 and verse 48, he says, "And the man is like a man which built a house." And he says, "And he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." When many years ago, when we were remodeling our home, and we were, before you start a project, you have to have a soil sample. You have to know how deep where the bedrock is, so that when you build and the foundation sits on that rock, that it doesn't move, it doesn't shift. There was one area, because we were living in Moore Park, we were on a farm field at one time, and the soil was very expansive, and typically when you're building a home, a two-story home, you have a foundation that's only about 18 inches or 24 inches tall. Well, I had to dig 48 inches deep before I can lay the foundation on one corner of the home. And I thought to myself, Luke puts down here, he says, "And he dug deep." And within our lives, if there's something that will prevent us from being on that firm foundation, we need to dig deep. We need to remove that sediment so that the foundation sits on that rock and we can secure our home, our spiritual home, on that foundation. And I believe with my whole heart, and as time is going on and we see the things that are happening in the current events in the world right now, that we are going to be tried. Storms are going to come our way. We're going to be asked questions, and we're going to be, we're going to be watched. And how then are we going to portray the love of God and of Christ? You see, that rain's going to come. Tribulation's going to come. I just know, I heard, what was a couple, last week it was New York had, or the East Coast had one of the worst snowstorms they've had in many, many years. And as I was listening to Brother Joe's sermon, and as he was talking about over here, I was also reminded, and I know in on the East Coast, where they have homes that are in the Carolinas that are built on the ocean or on the sand, and they're 10, 12, 15 feet up in the air. And in order for that home to stand the storms of the waves and everything, they had to dig really deep to lay that foundation so that home does not get swept away. I think many of us have seen the storms, the hurricanes, Katrina and so forth, and we saw pictures of homes being swept off the foundation because they were not secured to a foundation. The difference between a wise man and a foolish man is that a wise man makes his decisions based off of his spiritual understanding of what he knows in Scripture. As I said earlier, as I was doing some studying and reading, and I came across someone that put down that there are five types of fools. The first type of fool is a simple fool. He says, the simple fool, his mind is open to any passing thought, and his arms open to any passing stranger. In other words, he lacks discernment. Because a simple fool is not discerning, he's easily captivated by all kinds of enticements and deceptions. He's dangerously immature, extremely gullible, and intensely curious. And this is supported by Proverbs 22:3 that says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The next fool was a silly fool. The mouth of a silly fool often gets him into trouble. When things go wrong for a silly fool, he becomes angry, and then resulting in more damage. A silly fool believes that his own way of thinking is right, insomuch that he reacts to instructions when it is that he reacts to instructions when it's offered. We know Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The third type of fool the Old Testament talks about is a sensual fool, one who rejects the correction of parents or authorities. One who is determined to make wrong choices, and he does not have the mental deficiency, but rather rejects the wisdom of God. And this sensual fool focus is on what brings him immediate pleasure. As the silly fool, his mouth gets him into trouble as well. And a sensual fool is unreasonable. The fourth type of fool is called a scorning fool. The scorning fool's face expressions communicate the disdain and contempt in his heart towards authorities. Including parents, civil authorities, and God. This type of fool not only has rejected truth, but he's also embraced that which is abominable to God. He expresses his scorn through diverse attitudes, behaviors, and speech. And the scorning fool turns a deaf ear to rebuke. And then the fifth one is the steadfast fool, which is considered to be the most dangerous one of all. A steadfast fool totally rejects God and his ways. The fool saith in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They all have abominable works there is none that do with God, not none that do with good. And that's from Psalm 14:11. This type of fool is self-confident, closed-minded. He's his own God, freely gratifying his lower nature, and it's his goal to draw others, as many as possible, to his evil ways. Attempts to prove him to be futile and bring frustration to the one who tries to influence him, only God successfully reproves a steadfast fool. You see, any one of these five that you can categorize as fools, Scripture categorizes fools as the one that doesn't do what Christ asks them to do and builds his house on a sand or on earth, not on something that is firm as the foundation of Jesus Christ. So I submit to you and to me as well that we take a look at our home. Take a look at our spiritual home, our physical home. Let's do a little bit of an inventory. And is the foundation firm? Is our home firmly attached to that foundation? Or is there something that we need to do to correct, to brace up, to keep our home from being shifted? Because it will be tried. It will be tested. The winds will come, the rains will come, and the floods will come. I was reminded of Luke 14, 28 through 30. This is a portion of Scripture where Christ talks about one who's intending to build a tower or a home. He first needs to sit down and count that cost to whether to see he's got enough to finish it. Lest he starts and others mock him because he was not able to finish it. There was a man that had a piece of property. He had two parcels of land. There were two contractors. He had a meeting with both of them, and he says, I'm giving you guys plans to build me two homes. The first home was given to one contractor, the second to the other, and they were both given the exact same budget to build the homes. So the one contractor took the plans, went on, and started to build. And he built everything up to the maximum limit of the budget, with the best wood, the best fixtures, everything that he can within that budget. The second guy said, I can build this house cheaper. I don't need to use the best wood. I don't need to use the best appliances. I'll pocket the rest of that money. When both of them were done, both homes, they looked the same. Two homes side by side. The owner then took the keys and gave the key back to the contractor and says, this is your home now. So one that used everything that was given to him to the max capacity had a solid home. But the other one, who wanted to pocket the money, do you think his home is going to last as long as the other one? Because he used substandard wood or material? And the same goes for us as well. Building our spiritual home. So as we go out, as we think about this, Like I said, we're either going to be going into a storm, we're in the middle of a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. Let's make sure that our foundation is firm and our foundation is sure. May God bless his word.